when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast maiden is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. And their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week we're talking to the awesome Kelly from Belong, the person responsible for our favourite song.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
Look, we're back in the pod bar.
Yes.
It is summer, but it's not hot today.
No. I have a cardigan.
I know. You're very... Mandy is mauve
today. I am menopausal mauve today.
She's got mauve shoes, mauve dress, two mauve bags she turned up with, and a mauve cardigan.
When I arrived, you were like, wow.
I know. It was very...
colourful.
Teeming with the theme.
Yeah.
Very, very colourful today. Anyway. So, yes, it's weird because we've had so much beautiful hot. I think this is one of the best summers Melbourne's ever had.
Yeah, it's been beautiful.
It has.
Yes. Except for the humidity because my dog got a yeast infection in her ear.
Ugh.
So I'm at the vet and she's like, how did you get this? I said, I think it was the humidity. She goes, I think so too.
Yeah.
She goes, you need to put those ears up in a scrunchie. So we're going to try that.
Yes, and I know the rest of Australia are rolling your eyes at us because there's a lot of you that live with humidity. Melbourne doesn't cope.
Maybe there's not cavoodles in Cairns.
Maybe
I don't
not.
Know.
Let us know.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway.
Anyway, today we are excited.
Very, very, very excited.
I mean, every week we are. But
yeah, even Buzz and Woody, I was like, yeah, we're speaking with someone pretty cool today.
No, Molly loves this person and what she brought to our lives.
Yep, yep, and the T-shirts.
So we would like to say hello to Kelly. Would you like to say hi to everyone?
Hello. It's such a honour and privilege to be here.
Oh, it's wonderful.
And we're going to say that Kelly is from Belong.
Yay! She sure is.
She sure is. We'll get into that song later.
Yes.
We're going to grill her with our
But we know
questions.
The Peas love the Belong song, so we thought, Kelly, she's in.
Yep.
All right, how about we start with the questions?
Yep. Okay.
What's the first one?
It's been so long. Okay, so our first question is, so do you have a song or a band that either gets you through the good times or sort of lifts you up in the down times?
I have to say, I think this is the hardest question an interviewer can ever ask.
Oh, sorry about that.
It's nuts.
I know.
But I went to Spotify last night and I thought, actually, what is it?
Yeah.
And this might be a little bit off some of where the rest of your playlist is, but it has to be Jupiter from Holst's Planets.
Oh, don't know them.
And if you don't know it, it's a planet sweep. Jupiter is the one that's just a bit weird and wonderful at the start, sort of a bit, all over the place, bouncing off the walls, and then all of a sudden it has the da-da, I've made it, here we go.
I love it.
At full volume.
Oh, yeah, done.
And yeah, but Jupiter just arrives. Like, I kind of think it would if it turned up and knocked on the door, you know, Jupiter, here we go. So one to listen to.
That'll be added to our playlist for sure.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. And of course, the Belong song is on Spotify as well. So, you know, just a plug for that one if I can
plug it away.
Challenge us to two.
Oh, look. Of course. You can't listen to it too much.
Unlimited. I just love it. We're going to be bursting out his song all day.
I know. And we just keep putting earworms in people. They're like, oh, that song. I can't stop seeing it.
Okay, what about, did you win any awards at school or have you won any awards in your life?
Look, I did win some awards at school, but you kind of have to, I don't know, I'm a bit skeptical about those, except the one that was for fire safety. So the fact that I know how to hand, you know, matches to an adult, I think is a really key skill. So, you know, I do wonder where the responsible adults are these days. Yep.
Right.
Fire safety.
Fire safety. We have not had anyone win a fire safety award.
No. And I, do you know what I've never actually had to do in real life is stop, drop and roll.
Me either.
I learned about it a lot. And I grew up in the Yarra Valley, very bushfire explosive. Yes. So fires, we were very scared of them. But
yeah.
I remember thinking.
You thought you would do that more.
Yeah, I thought I would. It would be a bit more stop, dropping and rolling. Now,
it'd be easier now, we're bigger.
If you see me on the ground rolling, it's something's terribly, terribly wrong, and you're going to have to help me up.
Well, thank you for that.
Yep, yep, that's a good award.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
Okay, now our last question is, why are you a P or a part of our P community?
Well, I guess the reason I came to the community in the first place was through Belong.
Yes.
And that, the awesome response to our song.
Yeah.
But I also happen to have been blind since birth.
Mm.
So, you know, I do have some functional vision that could enough to get me into trouble at times.
Yep.
But generally that's been my life. So I really identify with the peas, the pea shoots, everyone else and the community at large.
When you got some feedback for the Belong song, what happened and how did you feel about our community and what was the discussion?
My reaction is obviously that I just want to make a difference to someone.
Yeah.
And it kind of doesn't matter how big that is. I think that's a philosophy for life, really, is that actually I just want to make it that little bit better.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be, you know, whiz bang for the whole world.
Yeah.
Yep.
But actually if you just make any difference on that one person and just to hear so many people it had resonated with, and I thought that was about our pea shoots until I realised it was an ad. sorry, I ruined it at the end for you by making it an ad.
But it's our ad
now. It's our ad.
So,
It just, and that sort of, you don't get a lot of feedback on that kind of stuff.
No. Yeah.
You don't often see a lot of reactions to that. But that's also why we do stuff differently.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of the first time we got feedback on. So we did the first audio described TV commercial.
Right.
And I think there were a few responses, but there was just one person who tagged us in an Instagram post to say, I couldn't believe it. I asked my husband to rewind it.
Oh.
You know, just something as simple as a TV commercial that's now accessible to me. You know, just that difference to that one. That's what it's for, right?
Yeah.
That's what everything's for.
Yeah.
Oh, Kelly.
I mean, my job might tell me that I'm actually supposed to sell stuff as well, but I don't care about that. I just want to make a difference to people.
Yeah.
And prove that it's not hard.
Yes. No. That's right.
But then I think you sell to people who actually also want to make a difference and who care about things. And, there are people who don't, but what an awesome community to be a part of. Then.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about growing up. What was it like for you as a little girl and where did you grow up?
I grew up in the suburbs of Adelaide. Speaking of not liking humidity, yes. Like, you know, Adelaide beats Melbourne, I think, for lack of humidity. Yes. So I think they've suffered through it this summer as well.
Yeah, so,
you know, 45 degrees in Adelaide, you're fine. I mean, your eyeballs might be
completely
shriveling up, but like it was just hot.
Hot, dry, hot.
It's like an oven.
Yeah. It is like an oven. Mm. Yeah.
But not as uncomfortable as, you know 25 degrees and 80% humidity.
Yeah, no. Get out of the shower and you're like, I feel hotter and wetter than when I was actually under the water.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the weather.
Yeah, great. We love weather. Yep.
But as a little girl, look, I reckon I was confident, can do anything kind of approach as a kid.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is actually, so the decision my parents made was I went to a specialist school for primary school.
Yep.
And I reckon that was probably what set me up with that sort of confidence and go get it, just go do it, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, the disability wasn't there, wasn't a thing.
Yes.
Because we were all the same.
Yes.
But, you know,
varying degrees, and our differences weren't blindness. That wasn't what was made us different from each other.
Right.
And we also learnt skills, those skills that you need for life.
Yes.
So, you know, I can touch type because I learnt to do that in primary school.
Yes.
I could type, you know, 90 words a minute by the time I was 12.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
And that's a skill that, I mean, we probably didn't know then was essential to me getting a job. And being just doing what I do now.
Yeah.
But even other things like, the cooking lessons we'd do.
Mm.
Like, you think home ec at school was just here's some ingredients, go make something. But for us and the education that we were getting then, it was, you know, not only did we have to walk to the shop to buy everything, you know, that's a whole orientation and mobility thing. It's a money thing.
Yep.
It's a self-advocacy thing.
Yes.
It's a safety thing. Like, so many things were built in that are just that beginning to life that was, you know, is really, really useful. And I think that's probably what got me through high school.
Right.
Because that's where things, mainstream high school, that sucked.
And I suppose the school was accessible, which is a lesson that we can learn for everything, is that when things are accessible, disability
doesn't matter
because we can all, you know, access everything. So, Do you remember knowing that you were blind, or is it just something that, you know, it's always
been? Yeah, I do, but not as an excuse or a label or as anything else. It was just there.
Yeah. And do you have siblings?
I do. I have an older sister.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
So she probably suffered a little with the whole, you know, I'm pretty sure from an early age, she won't hear this, so it's okay, but I'm pretty sure from an early age I knew full well that I could hit her and she wasn't allowed to hit me back. I'm pretty sure I knew that.
You've got to have some perks. Oh, dear. Can you remember then your mum and dad talking to you about your blindness, or what was that like as a little girl?
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, and I've thought about it a lot recently because I don't know a lot about, you know, particularly listening to the P's talk, I don't know a lot about what their experience was.
Yeah.
I didn't actually have a diagnosis until about 12.
Right.
So it was sort of an unknown thing, an unknown cause, and also an unknown prognosis.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And so that sort of unknown, I think, must have weighed quite heavily.
Hmm.
Yep.
But I think the conversations were more so about what you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Than what you can't.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I don't think it was really a barrier. It was more so a, you know, this is the way things are. And and obviously having those hard things of just being frustrated by not being able to do something that I thought I should be able to do, because I thought I could do anything.
Of course.
Turns out I couldn't. You know, I was determined I was going to be a Formula One driver.
Yeah.
Absolutely determined.
Yeah.
That was my career path.
Wow.
Yeah. Turns out I'm too fat, but
we understand.
That's
Look, it holds me back too.
But that's what ruined that dream, really. Yeah. It wasn't that I couldn't see, but, you know, I was determined that that's what I wanted to do.
Did you ride bikes, do roller skating, like what those sort of things?
Well, interesting
How did you
thing,
get
once
speed?
Again, at school. Yeah. At school, we did roller skating. Yeah. We did ride bikes.
Yeah.
Because, once again, accessible.
Yeah.
You know, the school gym was a safe place yeah. to yep. roller skate.
Yes.
Yep. You know, I mean, lots of padded things, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But a safe place for all the kids to roller yeah. skate and learn yep. to ride bikes around. Mm. So, yeah.
Was it yep, a school with stuff. Lots of different disabilities, or was it specifically
for It was a school blind? For blind and visually yeah. impaired kids. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we had class sizes. I don't think I had a class size above about 8.
Yeah. 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 Which is beautiful.
Yep.
When you walk in as a mum, you just think, wow, look, there is sometimes feels like more staff than children.
I'm sure. Yeah.
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 And so why did you or your family choose to go to mainstream high school?
That was really the only option to do the high school certificate
right.
For in the state at the time.
Yep.
There was support for kids with vision impairment, but that support was practical, and I just don't think there was ever anything that promoted inclusion mm. or anything else. You know, I still couldn't go. I didn't get to go on camp.
Oh.
I didn't get to do after school sport or activities. Yes. There wasn't the provision for any of that.
Oh, yeah.
It was just kind of like you were there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And kids not having had any of that education or empathy or anything else,
mm.
you were just the one that was different.
Yeah.
And also, you know, if you've got someone who's taking notes for you yes. in class, like, yep. why are you so special?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And socially, like, thankfully I got that love of learning. So I loved
yes.
learning,
oh. yes.
loved school from an academic perspective.
Yes. Yep.
But socially, it yeah. sucked.
I bet like, it was brutal.
I just didn't have any friends.
Yeah.
No. I just didn't have friends. Yeah. And kids would play on it as well.
Yeah.
Did they?
You know, they'd know that you don't know what their name is and they'd change their names
just to
have a crack.
Yeah.
Or, you know, kick footballs at you as you walk across the courtyard because you can't see who's done it and you're not going to challenge them on it.
No.
And so, you know, that's bullying, obviously.
It is.
Yes.
Hardcore.
But not something I was capable of identifying at the time. It was just that's the way it is.
And no adults advocated for you, stood up for you?
Intervened? I don't think there's awareness.
No.
Yeah. They're not there. They're not.
No.
All the insidious stuff happens quietly,
yes,
doesn't it?
Kids are clever.
Yeah.
They're not going to do it in front of anybody.
No.
Exactly. And so that bullying just goes on. And I mean, yep. I'd love to think that those people have found some sort of empathy in their lives now, but you don't know when you're a teenager. You're just trying to fit in.
Of course.
And
absolutely.
I did not fit in.
How did you cope with that?
I was determined that I would go, okay, you want to have a go at me or put me down. Well, I'm going to prove that I'm intellectually superior.
Yeah.
So I literally put every ounce of effort I possibly could into making sure that I was always going to be smarter than them and that intellectual superiority was going to get me through regardless.
Yeah. Wow, what fortitude. I recognize that in my husband. He has a severe hearing loss and I recognize the same sort of sentiments in him.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
And people have told me since, but everyone's like that.
No.
No.
Like,
no, they're not.
No, they're really not.
Everyone is not like
no,
that.
No, they're not.
I was not like that.
No.
I was pretty.
Yeah.
And I had a good figure. So, you know what?
Yeah.
I didn't have to work hard. That's the truth.
Yeah. Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, everyone is definitely not like that.
No.
No. And so did you find any solace? Like, was there like a little group at school, the music kids or the library kids, or you just really did it all on your own?
Music was my thing.
Yeah.
So because I'd started individual music lessons as part of primary school,
right.
You know, no, I do not have perfect pitch, not even close.
Yeah.
You know, that's a stereotype.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Sorry. Certainly doesn't exist for me, but music was my thing. And so I'd head down into that and, you know, I guess there were a couple of moments where you do suddenly feel that relief when you're being talked about, because I don't know why people think that if you can't see, you can't hear.
Yeah.
Or you're talking about me and I've got no idea. But
there was
a couple of those moments where it wasn't that's the blind kid. It was that's the one that can play the piano really yeah. well. And you kind of go, oh, Kelly. Thank God for that. Someone yes. recognizes me. Something else.
Yes.
Oh. But that just validates that superiority and the fact that I've got to work harder. So.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's exhausting. It is exhausting. Yeah. You should have just been able to, you know, be a year nine kid that was rude to the teachers and
you're smoking in the yeah. bathroom.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's a rite of passage.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
think we often, as parents, I know I have overlooked this and Woody will often point it out to me, where I'm like, oh, I'm so glad you've got a scribe, or I'm so glad. He's like, yeah, but nobody else does.
Yeah.
And I'm like, right, yes, of course. I'm thinking of your academics and you learning, and you're like, well, no one's going to talk to me in class because there's someone sitting next to me.
Yeah.
An adult.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we just, yeah, I think it's really easy to not see that. And that's why lived experience is so important.
Yeah.
It is. And not see that, but also not necessarily see the, you know, that, but also the other way, and wanting the world to be accessible and inclusive when actually don't focus on fixing the rest of the world because they've got to sort it out for themselves.
Yeah.
It's really got to focus on making sure that the individual can get the best experience out of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's all well and good to say, oh, I want to absolutely be part of this and be part of this program because it's the right thing for the world to do. Yeah, but it's the right thing for the world to do, but is it the right thing for your kid?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And I think as well, I know sometimes I've been on my high horse and been like, I'm going to advocate for all of this. And then other times I'm like, no, actually, I'm going to take a step back, or my child's happy today.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't have to be superheroes all the time.
No.
And I think, yeah, it's harder sometimes for our children.
Yeah.
Like, and you do want to do it sometimes and sometimes not.
You do.
And I think, but I also think you can't beat yourself up for not being an advocate because.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like, there are times where you just can't do it.
That's right.
It's just the energy. You've got to look after yourself.
Yeah.
It's a noble pursuit to be an advocate. Mm. And I absolutely want myself to do more of that where I can, but it's just not always a thing that you can do.
That's right. No. Just living your life.
Well, and the truth is, and this we may never see this in our lifetime, but the people that we elect as government officials and to run our schools and our local councils, that's their job.
Yeah.
Right? Their job is to advocate for all of us and to make life better for all of us, not just to be there for the people who vote the way they want to vote already have, and I mean, you know, in speaking marks, an easy life.
Yeah.
Like, they need to be there for all of us.
That's right.
Yeah.
What happened towards the end of high school? What did you think about what you were going to do for a job or go to uni, or what did that look like?
Oh, I made it through high school. So I think that's a survival. I reckon if it had gone for 3 months longer, it might have been touch and go. It was getting so close just wanting independence.
Yeah.
And just going, you know what? I'm done. I don't need this bit anymore.
Yeah, let's get a job and get money. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but music was my thing. And so I was convinced that that was going to be the thing that it was the thing I could do. It was a differentiator. It was something I could do. So I was kind of convinced that that was going to be the thing. And the biggest thing I can tell people is, oh, just wait until you finish school, because that's when the world opens up.
That's right.
That's when you get to find your people. Like, school is institutionalized. You're in the asylum.
You are.
You just got to get through to that point where you can get out and find your people.
Yeah.
Listen to that, PTs.
Yeah, listen. Yeah. It's tough. And there's lots of people that feel like it.
Yeah.
School is not. I remember reading a cartoon once and it had this little boy and he was like going to get on the bus and a bigger kid pushed him and he fell over in the snow, and then someone took his lunch and piffed it around the school, and then the teacher berated him for not doing homework, and he was coming home on the bus and he said, the people who say that school are the happiest days of your life obviously never went to school.
Yeah.
And I thought, yes, it's managing every moment, trying to fit in
and figure out who you are and what you care about, and actually having that strength to be who you are.
Yeah, it's tough.
And then you get out of it, and then it's the relief of just being able to choose and find people. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily make that a whole lot easier. You know, the vision thing does get in the way socially, always, still does. But, you know, there's also other people who are self-aware and know what the world's about, and so you do find those people. You do find people who you share an interest with, and that was the best times. I think that was time, absolutely, best time after school, because it was freedom. it was, well, I was an adult then. I could drink too.
So yeah. You
know, that always added to the equation.
So what did you do straight out of school?
I went to uni.
Yep.
But when you do a music degree at uni, you don't actually spend a lot of time at uni,
right,
or actually in formal studying because, you know, you're practicing and being really responsible.
Yes.
It's like 2 or 3 contact days, isn't there?
Oh, if that. At that time, if that.
Right.
Particularly if you're in a performance stream, which I was, because really you just spend your life practicing, which, you know, I can't say I did.
So but what grade piano did you get up to? Did you do your AMUS?
AMEB?
Yeah, the AMUS at the end of it. But, you know, is that a life skill I'm currently using? Probably not.
Surely,
I definitely think that the memory part of actually training with music.
Yeah.
Is, I mean, I struggled. When you have to remember, you know, hours of stuff from memory without ever having the backup of the, you know,
reading
just
the music.
Reading sheet music.
Yes.
Life practicing is, it just becomes a chore. Not a thrill. So,
So do you play now at all?
I do, just for myself.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just for fun. My I made it moment was being able to, when I moved in to my newly purchased apartment with my baby grand piano.
Oh,
wow. Baby grand piano.
Ellie.
And did the removalists love that?
Oh.
Thankfully, they're different removalists. The piano movers aren't the same as your average
removalist. No, true.
What a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a pretty special moment. Oh. It's only a few years ago now, so it's not like that's been going on for long, but yeah. So play for myself.
Oh, stunning.
Oh, yeah.
But then I just thought, that, you know, that whole life of, you know, I could teach, right? As a job. So if you're at uni, you go, got to earn some money.
Yeah.
Got to live. But at that time, you know, sometimes parents forget that when they don't send little Johnny to music lessons with money because they haven't got any this week, that means that I'm not paying the electricity this week.
Yes.
Or maybe I'm not eating this week. And it just wasn't kind of the lifestyle that I could
sustain,
maintain.
True.
Yeah.
So then I decided that actually I had to get a job, like a job, working for someone else.
Security.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the world of what the world's really like probably became far more aware to me. I was quite oblivious to the fact that people are so discriminatory about everything, right?
Not just
to me, but about everything.
Yeah.
I don't notice it. Like, I don't notice anyone's skin color. I don't notice their race. I don't know I don't know their differences that I'm judging them on. I tend to judge, like, that intellectual superiority thing gets me into a bit of trouble sometimes. But it does sound quite conceited to keep bringing that up. But
look, whatever works.
That's right.
But, you know, I didn't understand why. Who cares who someone loves or,
you know,
like, why does anyone care about that stuff?
Yeah.
And I was really naive to that, not realizing that actually a significant portion of the world seems to care about that
definitely.
Stuff.
Definitely. Yep.
And you remove yourself from it. Like, none of my friends care. None of my, like, the people in my world don't care. And then occasionally I'll bump into someone from my past or see something on Facebook and I'm like, oh, right, people
oh,
do
really
think
like
that.
That.
It's such a shock to me. I find it abhorrent now. Like, I just can't deal with it.
Oh, they get removed from my Facebook if they come up. I don't tolerate any of that anymore.
Yep.
Yep.
But, yeah, I think that was the whole world of trying to get a job. I just thought, well, okay, let's be honest, I also didn't have a whole lot of skills. I hadn't had a job, so, you know, or a job where anyone was going to give me a reference because I'd been working for myself. You know, a bit of volunteering in there as well. I did, you know, community radio for a while.
Did you?
And, yeah, just that kind of dabbling in stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I hadn't had a job, so I thought I was infinitely employable. Like, why not? I'm smart.
Yes.
And then to be... to get to things like a, you know, the last thing of a job, they've basically got the forms in their hand for you to fill out for your bank account details. And someone walks out and says, look, you're the best person we've got for the job, but we don't think we can accommodate your vision.
Mm. Oh, Kelly.
Like, that's the one thing I can't change. The one thing I can't change. And it had never been such a significant barrier to something. I mean, obviously I knew I wasn't going to be a Formula One driver.
Yeah.
Like, those things are just sort of quite black and white.
Mm. Yes.
But this was just such a, it's I can't describe how emotional, emotional that is.
Yes.
To be told that. Yes. You're the best person for the job. But well, if I'm the best person for the job, then like, I am. How are you saying no?
Yeah. I mean, really, it should be illegal.
Well, it was actually a government department too.
Oh, gosh, I was going to say, really surely the government
can't
do
that. Yeah, we do want to know.
Yeah, wow.
Yep.
Yep. Government department.
They've got the money to accommodate.
How did you recover from that?
I was really mad.
Yeah,
that helps.
Yep.
Really mad. But then you also go, so what do you do? And everyone's like, well, you just take them to the cleaners for that. And you go, but actually, what's the outcome I want?
Yeah.
The outcome I would want is I want them to change.
Yeah.
But I don't want the job.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to work with people who don't recognize that.
Mm. Oh, no.
So I didn't pursue anything on that one, that one in particular.
Yeah.
And kept trying and literally got some recruiters on side to go, hey, this is what's happened.
Mm.
I want you to clearly make sure that this isn't going to happen again.
Oh, smart.
And so the bonus, what I have to say, the thing that got me my job was that I could type.
Yes.
So that typing skill from primary school, right back when, is definitely what got me the job. But also I have to recognize what's gone before. And honestly, those pea shoots, the people who've gone before have done so much and continue to do so much for what's happening now.
Yeah. Mm.
And I feel that responsibility too. And the interview I went to where I ultimately got a job, and I got a job at Telstra, which technically I'm still there. So 10 years later. So this was the job I got, having had many in between.
Yeah.
The person who was going to be one of the leaders, you know, I implored her, I said, I need you to know that this is me.
Yeah.
And I need you to be sure that that's okay because I didn't want to put myself out for that type of rejection again.
No.
And she said to me, she goes, there's a guy upstairs with no arms, so I think you'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, that's what we need to hear, right?
And that's exactly what you need to hear. And that's exactly the going, actually, people have done it.
Yes.
And those people and before have no idea that they've made that, that has made a difference to someone else.
Yeah, I know, they're giants.
I totally feel that responsibility to everyone that comes after me. I'd love to think that the leaders and people I've worked with over the years have now got an opinion where they wouldn't hesitate employing someone, particularly someone with a disability, but someone who was blind or low vision. But,
You know,
I haven't validated that because I'm probably a bit too scared to ask. But,
well, they might listen.
maybe they'll listen to this episode. Amazing. And you've been there all that time.
I have lots of different jobs. So I started literally typing, so emails for Big Pond.
Wow.
And so when we could email, I could just churn them out.
Like, yeah, of course you could.
No problems. Emails, easy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So totally can, you know, and that's that thing, set me up to exceed expectations of that job.
That's right.
And prove that there was no barrier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then series of other jobs and, you know, round the traps and I did take up a time at Telstra as the accessibility and inclusion lead and that sort of advocacy role, which is really important. Some really key stuff has changed as a result.
What sort of things?
Well, things like I had no shame in pointing stuff out. Mm. I don't care what level of the organisation you are.
Yep.
You know, things that, you know, Telstra is still the only company that offers Braille bills,
yes,
for example.
Really?
You know, and cross my fingers that every time someone's listening to this, that's still the case.
Yeah.
But even little things and, you know, accessibility and inclusion is about everything.
Yes.
So it's, you know, how does someone who's transitioned change their gender in a system without being taken through the ringer that is having to prove it and being, you know, looked at like, what are you trying to do?
Yeah.
You're just genuinely making people feel human.
Yes. So important. And we know that the mental health that goes along with not being made to feel like you are as equal as is horrendous. You know, we know that people take their lives.
That's right.
So, that's a huge thing to have done. You should be really proud.
And just leaders. Like I spent most of the time in that role educating people on stuff. You know, the fact that we had some leaders who were willing to walk down Exhibition Street with a cane or with a guide dog or, you know, blindfolded or, you know, people to take up to get Auslan into stores and to get, you know, all those sorts of things. Employing people on internships into stores and all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So much. So
incredible,
much, so
Kelly.
Much fun.
Mm. Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
And so when did you leave Adelaide and move to beautiful, beautiful lockdown Melbourne?
Humid for a week, Melbourne.
It's been more than a week. I reckon it's been a month.
It's more than that.
About
10 years, nearly 10 years ago.
Right.
Nearly 10 years ago. So while working at Telstra, thankfully, you know, presence in both states and flexibility to move my role. Came to sunny Melbourne.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, that's a culture shock in and of itself.
Is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like Adelaide never changes. I love Adelaide, but it never changes.
Yeah.
Melbourne, like you go into a building and come out half an hour later and the footpath's not there anymore. And, you know, and what is with trams?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Whose idea was it that you run a tram down the middle of the street and that, yes, all the cars are going to stop when you want to get out.
Yes.
Yeah, they are. They honestly, they're going to stop and just let you cross the road.
It's
so, yes, step out into traffic. Go
yep,
on,
step out into traffic.
Oh,
yep.
Kelly.
And a tram going very fast, hurtling down, no fences. You can just accidentally step in front of a tram. They're incredible. I often think
You can do that because they often run red lights as well.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they rule unto themselves, the
old
trams.
Did you move to, like, close to the city or in the suburbs or?
I moved into the city.
Yeah.
Close to work, so, you know, nice from that perspective.
Yeah, awesome.
Moved into an apartment in the city and, oh, great. It's a great way to get to know Melbourne.
Yeah. At least
living
in Melbourne
with 300
is quite
of your closest friends.
Yeah, true.
I think we're quite a flat city.
Yeah.
Which I like. You can sort of walk around it and it's not too hilly. Like,
yes.
There are some, but like Sydney, which is obviously stunning and beautiful, but lots of hills.
Yeah.
Melbourne's straight lines.
Yeah,
so
it is.
Melbourne is also straight lines.
Yep.
Lots of straight lines.
Yep.
Love it.
Yep. It's good. Yep.
But that definitely the accessibility challenges. I think the accessibility challenges, but just the challenge of moving your whole self and having to find everything new and do everything.
Oh, yes. How did you do that? Did you have help? Did you do it by yourself? Did your parents help? What was that like?
I basically did it by myself.
Yeah.
But I think I was at that point of needing to.
Yeah.
You needed
that was
a change.
Kind of that next level of exerting my independence.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably also, I do get a bit thing when people say I can't do something. I tend to react quite badly when someone says you can't do that.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
Or don't believe you. So when I said to, you know, friends and family in Adelaide, oh, I'm moving to Melbourne. You're not going to do that. No, you won't. Yeah, of course, that's red rag to a bull.
Yes, I bloody am.
6 weeks later, I arrived.
Yeah, incredible.
And so.
Well, that's age appropriate. You want to go and live your life. You want to get away from your family, you know? You want to be your own person.
You want to have good coffee.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. I think all of Australia nearly has good coffee now.
Did you join, like, choose a football team, or are you Adelaide, are you the Crows, or what's the other one? Port Adelaide?
I'm just not that much of a fan of football. Yeah. Yep. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, okay. You can apologise.
I'm pretty sure Hawthorne probably, because I think they won like 5 premierships in the first 6 years of being here. Yeah. So, you've got to get onto a winner, right?
Yeah. Totally. Totally.
I don't know. My team hasn't won in my lifetime, so I'm not really sure about that. Yeah, but how did you fit into Melbourne?
I was in that. And I think it all comes down to mindset. You've got to be ready to put yourself out there to do it. You've got to find that right time and to take those in, make those incremental changes. Mm. And I think I've decided, you know, just to pick and choose the things that you do want to do and, you know, try out different activities. And I've always also really loved my own company.
Yeah.
And I think that came from probably from high school in particular, just going, you know what? I love learning, happy to do stuff on my own because I'm all I need. Yeah. And so I didn't have too much of a problem socially figuring that out. Obviously, I worked with people too, which was really handy. But I also like the downtime. I like the solitude of
rest,
know people, picking and choosing what I do. So I fit in quite well. I think the thing that really opened up the world for me was getting a guide dog.
Right.
So, because Adelaide never changed, it was never something that I'd really considered. But this whole thing of Melbourne, the pace, but also my developing career as well, the idea of needing to go visit partners or, you know, should travel interstate.
Yes.
You know, all that was coming up in my work. And so getting a guide dog really changed my
independence. Tell us about that.
I tell you what, black. Once you go black, you never go back, as they say. So my black lab, Galia was her name. We met in 2013, I think it was, and she changed everything.
Oh, wow!
This whole idea of just also becoming very visible.
Yeah.
So you can't put a guide dog, you can't sort of fold a guide dog up and put it in your handbag.
No,
it doesn't work.
True.
So you're 100% visible, but also in a far kinder way than people are when you've got a big white stick in your hand. It's a completely different attitude from the public. I think they're afraid that you're going to whack them or something. And look, that is part of the sport of having a cane. You know, figuring out who you can hit. Because it's one of those rare things where you can be walking along and whack someone across the back of the leg and they turn around and apologise to you.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen often.
No.
Not often you can whack people and they apologise to you. So, but also people are a bit, I don't know how to help, don't know how to get out of the way and don't know what to do because, you know, you're just wielding this big stick. Not that you're sort of launching it around your head or anything.
No.
But as soon as you've got a dog, everyone, the eyes change. It's a cooing kind of, you know, because the dog's doing such an amazing job. Yeah, never mind you being attached to it.
No. That's right. And trusting an animal.
Yeah.
I think it would be really scary.
No kudos for the human.
No.
All kudos for the dog.
Yes, because I bet. Yeah. No one's coming up rubbing your back of your ear.
Going, hey, good on you for getting out and about and having all the dogs. So she sort of also broke down some of that social barrier as well, I think, to life and the universe and getting out there and going interstate and working and just traveling and being independent. And we went on our first holiday, so my first independent holiday.
Yeah, brilliant.
Had many since. Yeah. So all of that stuff just happened at that point.
Yeah.
And how long does a guide dog stay a working guide dog?
It's kind of up to them.
Right.
Okay. Galia worked for 7 years. Unfortunately, the big C cancer got her.
Oh, no.
Really sadly.
Oh,
so,
Kelly.
Yeah.
Devastating.
Devastating.
But, yeah, so she worked for about 7 years, and that's probably about average for a guide dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
My new one you might have heard earlier because she is snoring.
No, we can't
behind
hear
me. She's a black lab as well. Yeah. Her name's Velvet.
Oh.
And she is very velvety.
Beautiful.
She snores like a
So when they're, this is just a personal question, but when they're off their lead or whatever, can they like sleep on your bed and...
Yes. Yeah, so okay. they are part of your family.
Yeah, they're dogs. Yeah.
They're dogs.
Yeah.
Harness off. And the people are often amazed by the switch that flicks in the dog's head. So it's harness incredible. On, it's like all business, don't talk to me.
Right.
Got a job to do. Harness off, it's like run across the road.
Yeah. Give me some chicken.
Give me the ball.
Yep.
Whatever it is.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're such amazing animals, dogs.
How did you move your heart between dogs? That must have been hard.
Oh, look, it's tough. It's because it's I don't think, you know, everyone, I don't underestimate that everybody loves their dogs, right? Everyone loves their dogs, but there are very few people that, you know, you can say your dog saved your life.
No.
Like legitimately saved your life on multiple occasions.
Yes.
And it's 24/7. I mean, most people don't spend time with their significant other
24/7. No.
They are there 24/7 in that relationship. And literally your left hand. And, you know, I've got friends who will tell you stories about how my guide dogs got us all home when we were all drunk. You know, Galia got us to the tram stop and we managed to get home because we were all having you know, like
that's the best.
You can imagine the dog going, oh my lord, it's one of these nights.
Seven of them.
I think she did. She had the most expressive eyebrows
here we go again.
I'm the designated driver again.
I was not bred for this.
How gorgeous. Oh. And then did it take time to get Velvet? Like,
yeah, it's you know, anywhere from 6 to 12, 18 months.
Yeah, so then you've got this time where you don't have a dog.
Yeah, it's very much matched personal to my need, my lifestyle, my walking pace, my size, my, you know, all of that
where
stuff.
You
so
live.
You've got to find the right one.
Yeah.
And then you go on a blind date, literally a blind date with the new one and see if you match.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it takes time because you still have to realize. And of course, I got Velvet in just before lockdown number 2.
Mm. Right.
And so she's still doing a lot of stuff for the first time.
Yeah, of course.
Even that long, that far on. So we're coming up to 2 years together.
Yeah.
And she's still doing stuff for the first time.
Of course.
Well, she wouldn't have seen crowds in the city.
We haven't flown anywhere.
No, no flying. Yeah.
We haven't done a whole lot of office time.
Yes.
You know, we haven't done a whole lot of she's brilliant at restaurants, but we haven't done a whole lot of anything.
No.
Really. She thinks actually life is sitting at home on the couch. So
she's got a bit of work
to do. She's in for a rude shock.
She's in for a bit of rude shock when it kicks off,
But, well, I'm exhausted.
I mean, that's sort of become my life too.
Yeah,
so
well, same.
I feel you, Velvet.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy to lie around on my bed.
Yeah.
Oh, she sounds beautiful.
Oh, well, you'll have to send us a photo.
Yes.
The peas would love
absolutely.
To see.
She's got an Instagram. Pretty sure she's following you on Instagram. Yeah.
Oh, I'll find
what's it,
it
called? We'll find it.
Yep.
Velvet the Venerable.
Oh.
The peas will go nuts. You're going to have like, you know, 500 new followers. Gorgeous.
So when did you start working at Belong?
Like 3 years next week.
Oh, right.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
And, I mean, it's such a cool concept. Like I know my scholarship, that was the only internet company she was going to go with was Belong.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be green. It's got to be, you know.
Tell us all about it. Yeah. Pump it up.
Yeah.
Oh, Belong, carbon neutral, mobile and internet.
Yes.
Look, Belong, it's a gift of a name in
it
the first
instance,
right?
It is a gift of a name.
Like, sure is.
Yep. Absolutely the gift of a name. So thank you to the people who've gone before and sorted that out for us. But, you know, a challenger sort of flanker brand for Telstra. So there's no question we are Telstra. But
Yeah.
You know, our own identity.
Yeah.
And it's really about through leadership going, actually, you know, we're all about creating value.
Yeah.
So we're a business. There's no question we're a business.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You create value by doing the right things.
Yes, you do.
Like by doing the right things. And then the more value you create, the more of the right things you actually get to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I don't know why people dismiss, you know, be it people with accessibility needs going, well, they're not my target audience.
Mm.
It's like, but they've got money.
Yeah.
They've got friends and they've got communities.
They sure do.
Look at the peas.
Okay. Yeah. I know.
Yep.
They've got communities. These people talk.
Yes, sure they do. Talk.
We it's all talk to each up. Other. That's right.
Yeah. And so I think
the world is changing.
Yeah.
And we don't know because I'm old.
Yeah.
But I know that my kids, if something's not accessible, if something's not green, if something's not fair, they're not interested. Like they are just not interested. So
yeah.
The threshold for values is much higher now than I think it ever was.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to match the values. The company's got to be seen to be doing the right thing, not just the cheapest or the fastest or the biggest or, trust. You know, trust is not just about how big you are and how many blokes called John sit on the board.
It's really not.
It's really
not. We need less Johns.
Yeah, a lot less Johns.
And more Joannes.
Yes. We do. Yeah. We really do. Well, we love Belong. Kelly sent us T-shirts.
Oh, Molly was wearing them yesterday. Yeah. Loves it.
Woody wears it all the time. We're constant ads for you.
Yeah. Yeah. We're a support worker. They were going to go on a camp and they both had their T-shirts packed and they were going to take a photo of them on their camp, but it got cancelled. But anyway, we will do That's something awesome. Like that.
We will.
But,
yeah. We will. What does it say?
Well, I am here to fulfill a wish today. So I do have one very special limited edition T-shirt that says Octopus Don't Fart.
That is limited edition.
Oh my gosh.
Let's give that away. Yeah.
I've got one. We can give one. I've got two.
Yeah.
We can give one away and we can do what we like with
them. Yeah.
That's a totally limited edition.
Oh, Molly would love that.
Molly would love it.
Because she's like, I'm going to wear it on my free dress day.
I know.
So she just hasn't had it yet.
I know.
She loves it. It's comfy.
It's comfy.
Yeah.
And it's like a nice light gray.
Yeah,
so
it is.
Sort of trendy. Yeah,
it
you know,
is.
Like
it's
sometimes
so good.
That doesn't come
try
to it. Yeah,
tell us about the song then.
Yes. Who wrote that?
The song.
How did it come
the
to be?
Song. Well, it's, you know, I have to say it's probably my best work of 2021.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I've peaked because, you know, putting a song out there with poo and fart, you know, like, got to be like the pinnacle of your job.
I reckon.
Like, where do I go from here?
I don't know.
No, I think it is.
You're going to have to work.
Yeah, you've really peaked.
Maybe we could ask the pea shoots. They might have some. some ideas.
But it is literally out of the insights of the internet. The belonging is what the internet does for people.
It does,
and technology
Kelly.
Does is it just does. That sense of community where people
yes.
find each other,
yes.
where people can find their people. That's yes. what belonging is. And that's kind of what we wanted to capture is that we love the internet because it has all these weird and wonderful things in it and all these facts that you can find out. You can learn anything.
Yes.
On
anything.
Yes.
Yep. And I
learn
think
anything.
People.
And so that's where it came from.
Right.
It came out of that insight to go, actually, you know, the internet gets a bit of a bad rap at times.
Yep.
You know, and it's got some nefarious things going
on.
Of course,
it does. Yes.
But everything does.
That's right.
Let's celebrate the really good stuff that happens on the internet, which is that connection. It's, you know, learning that octopus don't fart or how to, you know, things that taste like blue.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Who knows? I hope everyone's Googled that because it's fascinating.
Oh,
but
I have not. But I will.
I've Googled a lot of things from that song.
Yeah.
But I think it's just, especially when you, for me, live with children who are neurodiverse, the internet can give them things that nothing else can give them.
Oh, I just think stories
of,
you know, streaming movies, all this stuff that Molly can't read. You know, she can read, but she has not got the stamina to read a book.
Yep.
To be able to listen to stories, to have access to Netflix and to
accessibility, order things
access
online.
Stories. Oh. I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's amazing. I mean, poo songs. Like,
who
could live without poo songs?
That's
none of us are living without poo songs.
No,
exactly.
Where would we do that otherwise without the internet? Where are you going to find poo songs?
Wow.
But where are you going to find any of the weird and wonderful
facts?
I know.
I mean, we would have been
Google
in hospital.
Translates everything for me these days.
Yeah, it does.
Yes.
It
does my adding up because I can't be bothered doing it in my head.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But weird and wonderful facts. What are you trying to prove? Or what day of the week was, you know, the 11th of February in 1992?
Who knows? Brilliant.
But it's just there.
It's
And I think we don't stop and be thankful for it enough.
I think it's incredible. And I think that song, which I'm sure the peas will have heard halfway through this episode, I just brought all that to life and it gave us the joy. And I think for some reason it just really resonated with the peas. Yeah. Like, we've never run an ad that – so we have a hangout on Facebook where people just constantly commented on the ad.
Yeah, we've never had that.
It's just unbelievable. And I think also our people – we want to belong.
Yeah, and we know what it's like to not belong.
We really do.
As parents, watching our children.
Yeah.
As women.
Yeah.
Yeah, watching
our children.
There's lots of quotes around that, you know, the whole thing of it used to be, what was it, diversity was being invited to the party and inclusion was being invited to dance or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, inclusion isn't as far as belonging.
No,
belonging
it's
is
not.
That, you know, inclusion is almost like you've let me be included.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, belonging is that I just am. There's no, it's not hard in any way.
No.
It is just because.
Yeah, and this is where I should be. I belong here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's.
Some people are lucky to have that experience in a family.
Yes.
Right, so that's just a given.
Yeah.
Not everybody has that, but that's just sort of your first sense of, well, I belong to this family with this surname.
Yeah.
Or,
And then some people need to find it elsewhere and some people are still struggling to find it.
Yes, that's right.
They haven't managed to find it yet.
That's right.
You know, you want everyone to feel like there is that possibility and I think there is. There's someone, there's people, people for everyone because what are we here for if not not for that?
Yeah, it's relationships really, isn't it?
Kindness, empathy.
Yes.
Stop judging people.
Oh, yeah, stop
it. It. Enough.
Yep, judgment in the bin.
Yeah, done.
It's like the, you know, the one of the random thought bubbles is, you know, asking curiosity and asking people stuff. And, you know, I go back to the whole wanting to be fixed and everyone going, so what's wrong with your eyes?
Mm.
Like, well, there's nothing wrong with my eyes. Why?
No.
Nothing. There's not.
I know.
That's not the question to ask. The question to ask is, so what can I do to help you?
That's
I said,
that's right.
They have the same effect because you're curious. You're curious what's wrong with my eyes because you want to fix it. I mean, look, I can tell you, I've got a truckload of taxi driver stories that I think I should publish at some point.
Yes.
But, you know, taxi drivers are really keen to help me, really keen to help fix me.
Right.
Like they just want to, they've just got ideas and they just want to help.
Right.
Like the taxi driver, you know, I'm getting in there with a guide dog, right? Like, it's no questions why I'm there.
Yes.
And, you know, this taxi driver goes, so have you thought about glasses?
Oh, she's like, oh no, shit, Sherlock's. Oh, like, no, really?
Oh, Kelly.
Why didn't someone tell me about that sooner?
We need a book called Taxi Drivers, The Rectums.
Yes. Rectum Confessions.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be amazing. It'd be an amazing series because they're just like just trying to fix you. Oh, I've got a, you know, my grandmother had, you know, they tell you a story about their grandmother who had her cataracts fixed at this great place and, you know,
like,
happy to recommend you to it or, you know, all of them.
I think they must have a different sort of level of where you pitch a conversation because they'll also tell you all about who you should vote for, who you shouldn't vote for, like all these stuff. You're like, you're really quite...
Yeah, well, I had a car accident this week and I had got an Uber to get the rental car and he was telling me all about car insurance and which one was the best one and thankfully I was with that one. And I was like, why am I having this conversation?
I know.
Yeah, but yours is way more personal.
Way more.
It's just fascinating that sort of idea to fix.
Yep. Yes.
There's got to be a solution. The there's got to be a solution to you.
Yes.
I'm like, I'm not looking for one.
No.
No. And I think.
I'm actually looking for one.
Parents have struggled. And I think my friends are really coming out of the we need to fix our children.
Yes, I think so too.
I think it's the biggest.
I think it's been a movement in the last 5 years.
Yeah, same. And no, you can be who you are and you can. All of those things are you and you're awesome.
Yeah.
And I won't try and change you. And I know for number one daughter, like that's their whole OT thing. Is that how can we support you to live the life that you want to live, not how can you live the life that we want you to live? And it's very, very different.
Can you
it's
feel
such a,
that, Kelly, in the community?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because there's also this thing when you are young and don't realise it yet that it's also not your fault.
Yeah.
And so the big thing when everyone wants to fix you is you think you're broken.
Yes.
And when that surgery or that medication or that something doesn't work, it's your own fault.
Yeah.
Like, why can't I get better? Like, and so as a kid, you kind of, you've got to be really careful with how you pitch that with kids because, like, I hear your disappointment.
Yes.
Something didn't work. I know you're disappointed. I know And it's, you know, kids often struggle to separate between the you're disappointed in the situation, not disappointed in them.
Yourself. Yeah.
And that's a really hard thing for a kid because you just want to meet the expectations of everyone and your parents and make everyone happy.
Yeah.
But when everyone's disappointed because something hasn't happened, it's personal.
Yeah.
It is personal.
And so this trying to be fixed is kids have got to realize that we're not here to fix.
No, it's not about fixing you.
And in actual fact, it's about fixing the world.
Yes.
Because it's the world that's actually got the problem.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know a friend of mine was going on a rant maybe 2 or 3 years ago about, there's just not enough research about what causes autism and what causes blah, blah, blah. And, you know, if we could only find out the cause, then we could fix it. And, I turned around and said, oh, do you think that my kids shouldn't be who they are? And she was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's what you're saying. Yeah. And she was like, oh, God, I just didn't. I was like, yeah, stop it. All of us are awesome how we are. And, yeah, I think I'm really happy that it's starting to change.
Yeah.
Because I was really uncomfortable with it and felt like I was the only one. And then realize, no, there's swathes of people. And it's because adults with disabilities finally have a voice.
That's right.
To say, don't do that to us.
Yep.
Don't make us go to that stupid program.
And we've learned a great deal.
We have. Yeah. We really have.
But it's also got to get to the level of also people not being afraid to make mistakes. So I think there's also some responsibility that says, actually, I get that you're not aware.
Oh, yeah.
But you need to make yourself better.
Yeah.
And so often I see some of the community really attacking people for not knowing.
No.
And you go, like, you know what? As long as some people are trying to get better, you'll just make people too afraid to
try.
Yes,
you will.
You will.
And then they don't do anything.
Yes.
And we're still not winning.
This is so true.
It's so true, Kelly. Thank you.
It's calling in.
Yes.
I always say, I love a one-liner, but this is my favourite at the moment, is that inclusion is like cheese. You can never have too much. But some is always better than none.
Yes. That's true.
Some is better
than none.
You can
change cheese to chocolate or wine or whatever you choose. But cheese is my go-to.
Yes. Yes. That's so true.
Yeah.
And I think take disability or racism or sexism or whatever out of that. And if someone really has a go at you because you've crossed the road in the wrong spot or you've put the library book back wrong, you get your back up.
Yeah.
But if someone says kindly, oh, did you know that when you put the library book there, people can't find it? It's actually more work for people. It's fine this time and we will fix it. But if you could not do that, and don't feel bad because we've all done it, all of a sudden you're like, totally different response. I want to do it better now.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of people on a lot of issues that just constantly call out. But actually when you call people in, they become your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What if you could think about a message to say to women like us, peas, mothers, what is something you want to tell us that we're going to learn and change?
Oh, that's a really hard question.
I know, but I'm prepared. We need to hear it, right?
Yeah.
So you can think about it.
Yeah.
We can ask you something else. I know it's a big one, but is there anything jumping out that you've listened to in the podcast and thought, oh, that's a bit icky?
Yeah, I wish I could tell them that.
Yeah.
They're annoying.
Yeah.
I think it's just it is kind of back to what I'd said before about this sort of blind advocacy going, you know, make sure you're doing it, but not actually embarrassing your kid at the same time.
Yeah.
They've got to live in the world that they're in.
Yeah.
And actually they know you've got their back.
Yeah.
And actually do it with them, not to them.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that saying, nothing about us without us kind of thing.
Yes. Yep.
That applies to your pea shoots. Yes. Like it absolutely does. And if, you know what, you want them to be in that thing because they should be included, but actually they really don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Like give them some agency in that.
Yeah.
Yes, you've got to push. Yes, you've got to push your kids. Yes, you know, there's always things that you've got to make them do and chores, you know.
Yep.
We're not talking about chores. I'm just talking about that stuff out in the world that is hard.
Yep.
Yep.
Just don't be too embarrassing. Do it in a way that you're supportive. And
this is important for
getting
me.
Getting the same outcome.
She's
not embarrassing.
To me. Yeah. Miss 11 yesterday, she's like, she's such a Karen. I'm like, okay. But so the time when I flew into the school crying and screaming at the year 7 teacher probably wasn't my finest moment, Kelly. And Molly remembers. She remembers.
And there's also no harm in taking a breath. Like I said, the whole advocacy thing, you don't have to be on.
You can have a week off, can't you?
You can have a week off.
Find the things that are going to be, you know, what's the hill you want to die on? Honestly, what's the thing that's really going to make a difference? Because some of it just doesn't.
No.
It's not going to matter in 3 months' time.
Totally.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So true.
Good. Oh, take the pressure off yourself because you're all doing amazing jobs.
Yeah. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you. It's been so fun to talk to you. It's like a real person. It's not just an ad.
I am Belong.
You are Belong. You are the woman. Have we missed anything? Is there anything else that you would like to talk about that we might have missed in a question?
Oh, no, I've presented you with the T-shirt. That was my...
I'm very excited. Well, maybe we can, you know, now that Melbourne's out of lockdown, we could have a sneaky wine and actually get it in person.
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right.
Meet Velvet. Have some cheese.
It's all about Velvet. See, I'm always her plus one.
Yeah. Sorry, I just did that. I'll bring my dog with a yeast infection.
You can keep that sharing. Home, thank you.
Okay, got it.
We don't want that. There's very few things that'll strike fear into women. The phrase yeast infection.
I was just like, how did she get that in her ear? Then I had to explain it to the girls, and I was like, we're going in a whole different.
Meet Kynestin.
Kelly. Oh,
sorry.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of our community.
Yes.
For being an awesome person.
Great pea supporter.
Yep. And, we are so thankful for that song and what that brought to our world. And thank you.
It's such a privilege to be thought of as worthy to participate and to
sure
be on the
are.
Yeah. So
yep.
Thank you. And thanks to the peas for their support of the... of our ad. We'll keep it going.
Keep it going.
We love it. Thank you, Kelly.
Well, Mandy.
Oh,
what a great episode.
I just loved meeting Kelly.
Oh, I loved it. She was just enthusiasm and joy and happiness.
Yeah, and a breath of fresh air.
And she's our Belong chick.
As soon as we met her, on emails and stuff, we were just like, oh, she's...
Yeah, she's one of us. She's a kindred spirit.
She is a kindred spirit.
Yeah.
Yep. So we're going to see if we can catch up with her. That would be so fun.
Yep.
Yeah, and we'll pop some photos up of the T-shirts.
Hopefully you can see the T-shirt and the dog today on our Instagram. Yeah,
and I just, I just went to the toilet and then came back and I thought, yep, I've embarrassed my kids. I've embarrassed them in rage about something. I've cried. They've said things like, stop that, Mum, stop crying. And, it's true. I have.
Yeah, she's right.
She's right.
And on the other hand, I mean, she is still right, but, I know now Buzz and Woody will be like, can you talk to them about this?
Yes.
So there's times when they're like, right, I need you now.
Yeah, they know they need
me. And so they're sort of able to ask. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I know.
Whoever thought we would get someone that advertised on the podcast to come on. You'd be like, you're not going to have them.
Hyundai are not coming on.
No, Hyundai, no. They're not. Well, they haven't sent us a T-shirt. Anyway,
no,
just saying.
Just saying. We're going to get your act together. Hyundai, not Hyundai.
Hyundai. Hyundai.
Anyway.
Yeah.
What made you cry this week?
Okay. So what made me cry this week, and Mandy and I are going to feel very differently about this, is that Woody and I were watching a little bit of Survivor, right? And he said... he was very concerned with the voting.
Yes.
Right. And he goes, I don't like this. It's so sad because all those people are voting for someone and they're talking about them behind their back and that person doesn't know.
Yeah.
And he said, I hate that feeling, Mum. I hate it.
Yes.
And I think you've lived this a lot.
Yes.
And he said, I can't watch this.
Yeah, it's
and
brutal.
So, yeah. And I thought I knew it was brutal, but I hadn't really taken it on that. And I suppose we decide we like someone or we don't like them on what we're being portrayed on TV.
Oh, yeah.
But that actually is also our kids.
Yeah.
People have portrayed them in a certain way. And so therefore, essentially, they get voted out of things all the time. And so I was like, okay.
Yeah, we're not watching that.
No.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really interesting to
profound.
Watch it through his eyes. Yeah. So I did have a little cry. What about you?
Yeah. As I said, I had a car accident Friday night and I'm okay. But I was just shaking like a leaf and I was screaming.
Were you?
In the car. Yeah. And I just couldn't stop screaming.
Oh, by the time she sent me a photo, she was fine.
I was fine. But I was just going, ah, ah,
Were you by yourself?
Yeah, I was by myself, okay, and they just rammed right into me.
Amazing, just rammed into you.
And I heard myself screaming, thinking I'm overreacting,
but I
couldn't help it.
Right.
I just couldn't control it.
Yeah. Too much after 2 years of pandemic.
I think so.
One more thing that, like, this
post-traumatic
isn't right.
Stress, years of all sorts of varying little traumas.
Yeah.
And I knew I was overreacting.
Okay, well, that's
but
amazing.
But I can't control
just turn it off. Right.
Yeah, so my arms were shaking. I couldn't ring anyone. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I got it together, and I was more concerned because there was children in the back of their car. And so I'm like, I'm sorry. Yeah. Little 9-year-old's crying. And, you know, it's an awkward time.
Oh, it's awkward, yeah.
And I was on my way to book club, and so it just happened that my friend Ange just drove past.
Really?
We're on these random back streets, and she goes, "It's okay, I'm here." She had her window down.
Wow.
She goes, "It's okay, I'm here." And I'm howling. She's cuddling me.
Oh.
And she goes to them, "It's okay, I'm one of her best friends."
Yeah. And they're like, this is weird.
So random. She just really calmed my body down.
Yeah.
And then she's like taking photos.
Right. Oh, thank God.
I know, because I couldn't stop shaking.
Yeah. Oh, even a little accident, I think.
Yeah.
You do shake.
And then I was like, oh, it's amazing this doesn't happen more often.
I know.
You know, and
it is
scary.
Amazing. Yeah.
And so I tried to get home, and Ange followed me, and then I was just like at the last bit, I was just speeding home, and she's like,
stop it.
She said, your wheel was going sideways. What were you doing? Did I told you to stick to go slow? I think I just wanted to get home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And poor Molly really panicked.
Well, yeah.
Because she's very scared of if I'm going to die one day.
Yeah.
And then it all just comes out.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, this is all hard.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
And then, you know.
Yep.
Telling me it's a write-off and being on the phone for hours and just being a yucky week.
Yeah, it is.
And yucky in the second week of school when it's already hard.
Yeah, it is.
So, there was a bit of crying about that. Anyway, they're going to fix the car after I went off at them yesterday. And I said, do not just write this car off. I can't afford to get a new one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're just writing them off left, right, and center.
Yeah, because in the computer goes, it comes up as write-off. And I said, no. It needs to go and be assessed. I'm not accepting that.
No. Absolutely not. And they know as well, they can probably sell it for an okay price because secondhand cars.
Yes, and that's what I would.
And then you can't buy one.
No. Anyway, so they said they're going to repair it after I went off it.
Good.
Because the tow guy, I said, buy a car, hope you come back. He goes, don't bet on it. And I was like, I know you're saying the wrong thing there, mate.
Well, so, probably thought he'd better let you know.
Yeah.
That,
probably.
But
not
it is coming back.
But it is. So,
yeah. How long till you get it back?
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, we got a hire car. That's why we went in the Uber. And the guy was telling me all about insurance companies.
Yep.
So, I'm thankful for that. Anyway, it's been a few days of crying on and off about it. And it's just silly and it's just a car, but it's my freedom to get Molly places and everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Cars are real. It is a real luxury.
Well, it is a luxury. That's
right. But it's sad when it's taken off. Yeah. It's like you realise. Yeah.
Yeah. And also I just realised, oh, my gosh, I could be in a car accident any day.
I know. It changes, doesn't it?
Molly was beside herself.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
This is one of her biggest fears is I'm going to die.
Yeah. All right. My make a difference?
Yep.
Seems very pathetic after.
No.
All right. The first thing I want to talk about is, for Christmas, I ordered these crumpets, and they're called Crumpets by Myrna, M-E-R-N-A.
Yeah.
I don't know who Myrna is,
but she makes
a good crumpet.
Yeah.
Anyway, they were shaped as Christmas trees.
Right,
so of course I had to buy them because that's who I am. Anyway, they're like a sourdough crumpet.
Oh, yum.
And they're really, really dense and yummy. And so I was thinking about them the other day, and I thought, well, they probably have non-Christmas tree ones. So I went back and ordered some, and I ordered them with like this cream fraiche and lemon butter. Anyway, they're so good. They're just so good. It's some, I think, South Coast, New South Wales. I don't know. They come all cold and you put them in your freezer.
Right.
Anyway, and the big thing that's making a difference to my boys is that chocolate hot cross buns are back.
I know.
And I can't even tell you. We don't have a big enough freezer for me to fill it up for the whole year or I would.
Yeah.
We have one.
They're a winner.
Every morning,
yep.
So we have our tablets and a hot cross bun in bed.
It's a great breakfast.
Oh, it's a great breakfast. I'll hear nothing else said of it.
No. Oh, no. I'm a fan of the hot cross bun for breakfast.
And
for sure. Molly loves the chocolate ones.
Oh.
Yep.
They've just been.
Yep.
Oh,
life-changing.
Life-changing. I just love them.
I know. As soon as Easter's over.
I know. It's so sad. Baker's Delight. Feel free to just make a packet for me a week.
Yeah, for peas. Well, you might be able to ask them. You never know.
They're like, we put all the hot cross buns away for the year. But anyway, what about
they
you?
They started making them without the cross on them.
Yes, I know.
They
did. Yeah.
I am very – what's given me joy this week is a new podcast. It's called The Trojan Horse Affair. It's like number one on everything.
Okay.
And that's because it's by Brian Reed, who was a serial guy, who was the S-Town guy, you know, and it's
– he's put 6 years of work into them.
We're just messaging constantly. Yeah. We're like, can you believe it? And it's been exciting because it hasn't been sort of that investigative podcast for a little while because people haven't been able to do it.
Yes.
And it's just – you know, you get into the episodes and they're just like, I can't believe that happened.
Oh, great.
Anyway, it's really good. It's detailed, so you need to, like, I'm taking my time. I'm also savouring it because I know it's going to be another year or so before he makes one. So if you're an old school podcaster that loves those sort of, you know, type of podcast, go onto it. I also watched Sweet Magnolias season 2.
Oh, yes. I haven't watched season 1. So.
Look, you know, it's just feel good.
Yeah,
it's feel good. I enjoy it.
Nothing wrong with that.
And I started back working with my sleep work and I've had so many pee clients and
beautiful.
I just love you all.
I know.
It gives me so much life.
Yeah, you love it.
I love it. Yeah. And I just love them saying, oh, you know, hi, and I listened to the podcast.
Yeah,
and,
beautiful.
Yeah, and I listened to yesterday's episode and you know, when there's been times where I've wanted to give it up, but the pee families, they're my people.
They really, really are.
Yeah.
Have you listened to Sweet Bobby?
No.
Okay. Well, you need to listen to that too.
Okay.
That's only like a 6-parter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love them.
It's out of England and it's quite.
Well, this is out of England too, the Trojan Horse.
Yeah, well, it's good. I really got into Sweet Bobby.
I'll get into that.
Scholarship got me onto it.
Yeah,
and
great.
Then I'm like, oh my gosh. Anyway, they're all there now, so you don't have to wait.
Yeah, great. Yep. Thanks.
All right. What made you laugh?
I went Wednesday night to Molly's friend's house. And we were talking to one of her friend's mums about getting onto the NDIS because she hasn't
yet. Well, that's a really funny conversation.
Well, as all things our kids, it always turns funny.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was nothing specific, but we had great dark humour.
Oh,
it was fantastic to be able to tell our truth.
And laugh.
All the kids are in the pool.
Yeah.
And we spent 2 hours with her saying, you need the NDIS.
Yeah.
Come on, how can we help you? This is how I manage it. This is how my friend manages it. It was really, so nothing hilarious other than I was with my people. We could have a laugh at the specialist school.
Yeah.
We could have a laugh at our kids and we got an enormous amount of fish and chips and it was fun. Good for my soul. Yeah.
Well, my laugh this week was I was talking to Woody and he said, you know your favourite TV show in the whole world? And I was like, no, what is it? He goes, you know, you made me watch it at Falls Creek. I was like, what? What did I make you watch? I said to my face, he goes, yes, you always talk about it and you watch it every year. And I'm like, I can't even, I was like, Midsummer Murders. He's like, not Midsummer Murders. He goes, you know, it's just Love at First Sight. I said, Love at First Sight? I don't watch Love at First. What is Love at First Sight? He goes, yes, you do. I said, no, I don't. He goes, yes, it's like airports and Christmas. I said, oh, Love Actually.
Oh, Love Actually.
Anyway, he forgot what he was going to tell me about it because it took us so long to get to the point.
Yes, yes.
And then he goes, well, they actually meet each other and they fall in love at first sight. So that's what it should be called. So let's call it Love at First Sight. I said, okay.
That's it.
So we laughed a lot.
Christmas Eve, Love at First Sight.
So
gorgeous.
Please join me as we watch Love at First Sight. Because none of them know each other. I was like, actually, that's really true.
Yeah.
You think the movie takes place in like a month and then they're getting married.
It's it's problematic now.
It is problematic. I'm over the problems. I just love it.
Oh, yeah, do you?
I love it.
I don't watch it over and over.
Oh, no. I would have.
I don't care that it's problematic. I just, hooked me in.
I reckon I've seen it 30 maybe. Oh. I watch
it. You love it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Love at First Sight.
Yep, Love at First Sight. All right, peas, beans, everybody, rectums.
Yep, you're all welcome.
You're all welcome. It's been lovely chatting with you. Hope you enjoyed our Valentine's Day snap pea. And who knows whether there'll be another one next week. We never know either.
Yeah. Okay, thank all right. you, P. See you. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.